crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. And our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
And good morning, welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning. We've got the men on the line. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
And who we've got on here this morning?
We got Zach from Michigan.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Paul. Thanks for joining us. Paul, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning? Zach?
Did you say Zach or Paul?
I said Paul, but why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I'll do it. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory. Lord, we just give you thanks for this opportunity to come together and sit down and talk and to broadcast and talk about your word. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit be among us and guide each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, we just ask for that helper to be close to us in this time that we are in these days, Lord, these last days. Lord, we just for each amendment. Would they be protected, Lord? We just ask that they going to be paid where they need to have repaid. Lord, we just ask that you be their guide. And Lord, we just ask that you have angels all about them to protect them, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray for this nation. Lord, we just pray that a spirit of repentance comes upon this nation, Lord, on your people, Lord. We just ask that they would get down on their knees and repent and beg for the forgiveness and the protection that only you can give, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray that you use us in any way that you fit. And we just pray that all the evil tears, that they just be confused and don't know what to do, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Zach.
No problem.
Well, what is there anything specific that you men want to start off with this morning?
Well, just like we talked briefly before we got on, we were talking about what's going on in Virginia. Apparently that state has passed some type of gun confiscation rule.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people that are up in arms about this. I listened to one guy that was on YouTube yesterday, and he showed a map. Now, personally, I'm not Republican or Democrat. I'm a Christian.
Yep.
And I try to use God's statutes and laws to guide the way I live my life. And I would think the conservative party would represent that more than the Democratic Party. And the reason why I say that is this guy on YouTube last night, he was showing the districts that were all Republican and all the districts that were all Democrat, and all your main cities were Democrat, and they had more districts that were Democratic than were Republican. Well, most of your landowners were Republican. And those are the ones that were the most up in arms about this violation of the Second Amendment.
Right.
And if you haven't seen it, if anybody out there hasn't seen anything on it, you know, just Google it, and you'll kind of get a lowdown on what's going on. And, you know, they're saying, well, this is the law of the land now.
Yes.
So you got to do it. And the one argument that I heard was, well, you know, the illegal immigration, you know, that's illegal, that's the law of the land, and you guys are, you know, creating these sanctuary cities, and Virginia is creating sanctuary counties for guns. And they're like, well, you can't do that. Well, you guys are, the argument back was, well, you guys are doing that with immigrants and cities, so why can't we do this with the Second Amendment right? And there's a lot of people fired up about it.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, Zach, is that there was close to 40 counties across Virginia that declared themselves as Second Amendment sanctuaries, basically sanctuary counties for the Second Amendment rights. And they're not happy about that. Basically, they passed some of the new legislation as some very, very strict gun laws. And so they've called out, basically, is what they're doing now is they're saying that they're going to use the National Guard to enforce the gun confiscation and gun laws in those counties where basically the Sheriff's Department, from what I understand, it's the Sheriff's Department that said, no, we're not going to enforce these laws in our county.
That's kind of scary, too, because if you think about it, the age of somebody that's going to be in the National Guard or the service, is that person is going to be from 18 to 25 years old.
And they're just going to be following orders.
They're just going to be following orders. And the trend is most people don't Bible, especially the younger people as a whole, and that's pretty scary.
Yes.
So
good point.
We need to keep them in our prayers.
Yeah, a real good point. Yep. Yeah, and it's interesting, as you said too earlier, it's interesting that this came to pass on Friday the 13th, and you did a little bit of research, and we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but why don't you give us a little bit of history on Friday the 13th?
I did a quick search on Friday the 13th. Everyone's like, oh, it's a evil day, or some people think it's a lucky day or whatever. And from what I gather from a witchcraft point of view, it is a time of rebirth. And it has to do with moon phases and that sort of thing. And if you want your spells to be really effective, you do it on that day. And I find it a very odd that they also introduced the articles of impeachment that they're coming against Trump with, that they're charging Trump with as well.
Right.
And so I would say the left is really fighting extremely hard. And
that's what I believe is happening too. Yep, exactly.
So, you know, they're calling on their God. We need to be calling on our God. And it's really a time that we need to really get our priorities straight and see what's important. And, you know, I believe our important, the most important thing that I can do on this earth is make sure my children have a good future so that way they can raise their children. And that's not a popular thing right now, but that's where my prayers are going, is you know, to counter this and to, you know, fight verbally or, you know,
amen,
from behind the pulpit, you know, because
exactly.
That's what Pastor Peter did the best. He fought from the pulpit the best. And that's what we need to be doing, I think.
I believe so, too. Paul, what do you think?
Interesting times, to say the least. I can't hear you guys very good. That's part of the problem.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it's interesting times, you know, where, you know, there's three things that are death penalty in the Bible. Rape, murder, and kidnapping, if I got it right. And I think that's it. But the thing of it is that kidnapping, when that's a death penalty, that means that that person is untouchable. You know, you don't go touch anybody without it. You know, these, like these cops and stuff, they're not supposed to. Well, see, the difference between a sheriff, he carries out law, and police carry out policy. And all the sheriffs have been converted to police for the most part, and they're carrying out the policy, and all the youth have been indoctrinated, and their God is the government. You know, they don't even know the real God. And what's going on here is God's boiling this thing down. You know, you get to choose who your God is. Now, there's people standing up. I read about a sheriff in Alabama the other day that he puts out on the Internet when people need prayer for him and stuff. Well, the Freedom for Religion sold him a letter, told him to desist and deceased, and he replied, "I am honored to get this letter from you, but I'm going to serve God rather than you."
Praise God.
I don't even intend to answer that letter. You know, and people are starting to stand up. And the kids are cannon fodder for the most part these days. You know, they'll do whatever they're told. I mean, I don't know. We mustn't get discouraged but there's a clear line being drawn. And, I mean, I just read about a girl shot her husband in self-defense. She was all beat to crap. Well, they let him out and she put her in jail because she didn't have a permit to carry a gun.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's just absolutely crazy. But there's no foundation. You know, what do we do when the foundations are torn down? There's no foundation. When you take God out of this, and he's been out for quite some time. My parents and all of them were basically oblivious to what was going on, but they had it a lot better than we did as far as moral stability. But it just deteriorated. Coming to a head, I think.
No matter which way you cut it, you know, we can sit there and talk about, oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're doing that. And in reality, it's nothing more than symptoms. And what needs to be done all across the land is We need to find the root. Now, the remnant here, we know what the root is. It's because of sin. It's because of people not following God. You know, the churches across this land, they make God look like an anarchist, but yes. He has no law.
Yes.
You know? So, and that's farthest from the truth. It's a complete 180 from what people are indoctrinated in. So, you have a bunch of people that think God's an anarchist, which that, in their view, gives them no power, I would think. And it comes right back down to what, you know, like what Paul was saying, that lady that shot her husband because he was beating on her. We don't have any, you know, our population is...
They don't have...
percentage of... they don't have any Christian men, white Christian men, serving our God the way our God intended them to.
Well, you got a lot of people that are they're trying to get off on a technicality, and it's do they have love for their fellow man? Absolutely not. Do they have they look to the law, and the law was written for them. I mean, it's man's law was, you know, that basically they can convict anybody and they can get anybody off based on a technicality.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
The simple fact that there are very few God-fearing men around us, you know, that's part of the problem. That's a huge part of the problem right there. You know, they're not being the fathers that they were called to be. They're not being the head of the household that they were called to be. And that's what the root of the problem is.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
Well, not only that, the twice the sons of hell are more dangerous. Those are people that have followed another god, and they're more dangerous than our enemy. They'll turn and bite you like a rabid dog. You know, these are people that set in the pews, and they think they're godly, you know, have their deceitfulness of riches and all the things that they have, you know, but they go to church every Sunday, and they are some of the most dangerous people to me that I can see. Because they're double-minded and they're unstable in everything they do.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Matthew 24:12 says, you know, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I think the problem that we have is there's been a false love. This love culprit that runs around has been taught to our young men and young women, and they mistake love for romance. And, you know, and passion. Those aren't what love is. The Bible clearly describes what love is, and nobody's taught them that. They haven't. There's a lot of biblical information out there about what love is really about, and it's defending, guarding, caring for, lifting up. These sort of things, and we live in this 7-Eleven society where everybody gets. Instant gratification, whether it's through their credit card or through the internet or through their Nintendo or whatever, and they haven't figured out that it's a long game. You know, that love waxes cold because of all the iniquity that's abounding.
Yep, good point.
Pastor Peters always said that the enemy hides their hate by talking about love all the time. I mean, you know, that perfectly ties into what you just said, but they don't know what love is.
No, they don't. They're incapable of it. They are completely incapable of love. And, you know, and actually that's wore off onto a lot of our people, too, is because, you know, when you have true love for your brother and your countrymen and your fellow Christian, it's, you know, you don't sit back and you say, okay, you know, well, this is happening to them. Okay, I'm going to pray for them. You've got to become enraged on when they're being persecuted and when they're being attacked for taking a stand and for doing something that's right. And when they are attacked, you've got to think it is like attacking yourself or one of your family or one of your kin. That's where a person needs to be.
That's a fact.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, and another thing, I was sitting listening to Tim and Paul there. I was thinking about in Hosea where it says, the enemies of God are the enemies, and I'm butchering this verse, they feed off of God's people's sin.
Yes.
And, you know, people need to understand that that empowers somebody. You might not know who it is, but you're actually giving power to somebody when you fall short of the will of God. And, you know, and nobody knows that, you know, and that all points to the root of the problem, sin. Every time you come right down to it, it comes right back to sin.
Well, and we had a pretty good in-depth talk about that earlier this week. Zach, why don't you share some of the things that we were talking about? I think it's a good thought, and I think it's something that we really need to kind of hone in on.
Well, I was talking with this guy, and I was telling him, you know, I was pointing out all the wrong things around. And this particular individual, he's been all around the world, and he's seen some pretty horrible things. He's seen some pretty horrible acts that other people have done to other people. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And so I was complaining about the state of the nation, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, we all have power. We all, you know, power like electricity hooked up to our houses. We all have plenty of food in the refrigerator. You don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry about a lot of things. And, he goes, if you can find someplace better, then, go move there. And he kind of had me, you know, he kind of had me in a catch 22. And I thought about the story, when Judah was finally overthrown and Babylon took him over, and the king of Babylon started putting other people in the territory of Judah. And as what happened was all those new citizens kept getting attacked by animals, the crops were failing, and all these terrible things were going on. So his people, or the captains of the king of Babylon, reported back, and to make a long story short, the Babylonian king went and retrieved some Levites and asked them, why is all this stuff going on? And they're like, oh, it's because you're violating God's law. So he implemented God's law into his law to relieve the wrath of God. And God took his hand back and quit beating him so bad. And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, you know, that's exactly what's going on in this country today and all the other Israelite countries, is there is a level of honor given to our God, the great I Am, the God of our Bible. And that is why, so you have the two systems cohabitating, and it's slowly degrading, and we all know that destruction is the end result, because there's less and less respect given to our God, and that is what we have going on today. And really what it boils down to is, we as the remnant, how are we going to separate ourselves from Babylon? Because I had to ask myself, am I separate from Babylon? How do I do it and still survive? And that's the real question in my mind. So, and I'm up for ideas, but the Bible tells us that we need to get out of Babylon. Well, how do you do that? Because there's certain things that you can't do unless you're part of it.
Right.
But God tells us to get out of it. So what do we need to do? What do we need to pray for? That's the real question. And I guess my opinion is, you guys might think this is crazy, get out of debt. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that?
My personal opinion is primarily it's a mental separation. That's the primary what it is, because we're in the world but not of it. And you know, and the man who says he who dwells on the law cannot be moved. And I think that's what the primary separation is. It's right there. But then we've got all this other mechanics that are consuming us, and it looks like it's boiling right down to, you know, where they almost have complete control. But then they don't, and you know, they just don't, because God, he wins in the end. We read the end of the book, and but that's my take. It's primarily a mental separation, because every day I look at people, what they do, and it, you know, and they're really unreachable. You talk to them, you got a major war on hand, mental. You know, most people today think that persecution is a difference of opinion, and that's all it is. You know, if you have a difference of opinion, and well, see, what we have here is Christianity and Babylon is a law system. And that's why it's so bad that the law has been taken out of the churches, because they have no idea what sin is. You know, and it talks in Donald Proverbs or somewhere, Psalms, that the law of God converts the soul. And that's why there's no conversion, there's no repentance. I mean, I left the church I was in. It was a baby sprinkler, and I went to a Baptist church, and they don't even baptize for the remission of sin. So, I mean, that, you talk about a mess. It's a mess everywhere. So that's my take on it.
I think you're absolutely right, Paul. I think that my opinion, ding, is the fact that what we need to do is it's back to that power of no. When they are, it is a standing, I mean, it's hard to come out of Babylon even financially, because we're told to raise children and have houses and things. And I think that, you know, when you look at that, that to some degree necessitates some of that system, whether you like, and it's wrong. I'm not saying it's not, but I think that it's the power of when they're in your face with their idealisms and their theologies and their false doctrine, is the fact that you stand up and say no, and that you teach your children no, and that you fight against it in any way that you can. And I think every person is called to fight against it in a way that they can throw sand into the gearbox and stand for what God calls them to stand for, and exercise the power of no, you know. And I think that's the separating point between them. I mean, if you look at Daniel when he went into captivity, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there were different levels of resistance and different levels of trying to come out of that. But they really, you know, they God made a way for them, and they stood as much as they could. So I think there's some examples in that for us, maybe.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Zach. I think that you know, the scripture that I was looking for here was Proverbs 22:7. It says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender." So I think that ties right in with what you were talking about. And you know, I remember talking with Dad, Pastor Peters, about a lot of things, and he talked about, you know, his folks' generation, and you know, he said that they used to the comment was how did it go? I'm trying to think exactly how it went, but he said we were broke and didn't know it. And you know, he said, you know, that was a common theme when he was a kid, and for his folks' age. And he said that, you know, they often joked about how they were broke and they didn't know it, but he said that they were living on their farm. They had their farm was paid off. They had good food to eat. You know, every Sunday they had a barbecue, and they were eating produce of their out of their gardens, and eating beef off of their cattle herd. And he said, you know, he said, looking at the generation now, he says they were rich and they didn't realize it. And you know, how many people would, you know, give their right eye for something like that, to be able to do that now today? And you know, he said that it was just common misconceptions, and he talked about that quite a bit, and you know, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they were rich beyond what they even understood.
Yeah. Yep. And they were.
And how, you're talking numbers now of a house. All you're doing is looking at inflated numbers. I mean, they're just blown way up because they're not based on substance at all. You look at the farm economy. That's where the real bottom line of what the economy is. And that today is what I see of it is in pretty bad shape. But that's dealing with real property. See, and everybody thinks that wealth is their 1040, and that isn't at all. They had real wealth back then. They had family. They had everything that needed. And you know, look how it functioned. I mean, that with this corporate farmer name would come close to dealing with what left this country with everybody leaving the farms.
Yeah, and I remember that as well, and I think that the comment I remember hearing quite frequently is, we had everything but money, you know. So, you know, that's what they talked about, and they did. They had it all. They just didn't have any of the Babylonian scripts, you know. So.
But, you know, my mom and dad, it was a common part of their vocabulary, is we trade here, we trade there. That was part of their vocabulary that was ingrained in them, and that's what they did. They didn't talk about money. They talked about trade, and then they start, you know, but that was ingrained in them from youth, and that was an part of their vocabulary, the way they spoke.
Yes, it was.
So you guys are saying it's a matter of perspective. You know, like what Pastor Peters, when he was growing up, you know, all their farms were paid for. It's a matter of perspective. You know, I remember a few weeks ago, John was saying somebody that he knew, it was about their car payment, and it was over $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Now you want to talk about somebody that's strapped to the Babylonian system? It would be that individual. Now, how many more million people in this country are in that same situation? How many people do you pass
well,
on the highway?
Yeah, and Zach, so it's pretty crazy. So I run into people all the time. So with what happens is their car breaks down. Okay, let's say a transmission. Tim's in the transmission business. Basically, he rebuilds transmissions. So you could kind of say he's in the tranny business. But anyway, a transmission goes out on a car. And okay, yeah, so they go and they get some estimates. Okay, well, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be $1,500, $3,000. I mean, and that's for an inexpensive transmission. I mean, that's, you know, $1,500, $3,000 is kind of on. I mean, Tim, wouldn't you say that's kind of on the low end for a transmission on a?
Yes, yeah, that's a ballpark average for, yeah. So,
and next to your engine going out, that is the most expensive, basically probably the most expensive part on your car. But a transmission will go out, and somebody will go in to get it fixed, and, you know, they get an estimate on it, and it's going to cost them, you know, $1,500, $2,000 to get it fixed. Well, I don't have the money to get it fixed, so is what they'll do is they'll just go ahead and buy a new car. You know, it's cheaper for them to buy a new car and to roll that debt and to roll it over into something new and get something with a 24-month warranty, 36-month warranty, whatever it is. And it is an epidemic. I mean, people are buried in their vehicles. They're walking off the lot with a new car or a new used car, a new car to them. They'll go down there. They'll finance it. They'll, you know, paying 13-14% interest on it and walk off. And because they can afford to do that because it doesn't cost them any money down. So then they're buried in it.
I can't even wrap my head around that.
No, I can't either, but it's happening all over the place. I mean, it's basically an epidemic. I mean,
it's an epidemic proportion. It really is. So, and the sad thing is a lot of the new stuff they're buying, especially if you're buying into newer stuff, is more problem-plagued and has more issues than a lot of the other stuff. And even the warranties aren't, you know, it seems to me that 20, 30 years ago, a warranty was worth something. Today, it's like we were talking about loopholes. It's like all they want to do is try to figure out how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, they don't. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a deductible for this and a deductible for that, and it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's just a mess. But
absolutely.
I mean, I've seen people that are driving a $3,000 car. What do you and they stop in and they're like, okay, what do you think that my car's worth? And I'm like, you know, it's probably worth $3,000. I'm like, what do you owe on it? $12,000. You know, four times what that car's worth. And they're trying to figure it out, and they're trying to figure out how to put ball joints on it or struts on it or something like that. And it's like, you know, they don't even have the money. They're so worried about making that car payment that they can't even afford to put tires on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, you got to pay the car payment and the insurance payment and the licensing fees and everything else. And I mean, one of the things that astounds me is at my age is a lot of these new trucks and stuff. We've talked about it before, but you know, they cost more than the house they bought, or as much, you know, right there close. And it's like, let's talk about longevity. Let's talk about value, you know, true value, in real value. That house will last how long, and that truck will last. And yes, and there's some kind of disconnect there in the logic system between what they're doing and what they're getting, you know, for what they're spending.
Well, yeah. Nobody's thinking really. You know, you go to college for 12, 14, 16 years, you're going to be extremely stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
It's true. Common sense is not very common anymore.
Well, I'll tell you a story, a true story. Not too far from here, there's Amish that sell barrels. They sell plastic and steel barrels. You got a tiny old burning barrel. Well, this professor from Ferris State College went and bought a barrel. Burned on it. Well, he called the cops, and anyway, he built a fire in a plastic barrel. And they went back to the comma and said, "What are you doing selling burning barrels?" And this guy's a professor at Fair State College.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Well, a lot. Yesterday it was kind of interesting because I had a so me and my brother kind of run some interrogation for. We had a mechanic buddy of ours that he stopped by with his wife and his daughter and his daughter's new boyfriend. So anyway, and it was pretty hilarious because my brother beat me to the punch because, you know, we said, "So what are you doing? What are you doing with your life?" And he started telling us that he was going to college and he wanted to get a psychology degree and a history degree. And about the time he said that, my brother beat me to the punch and he said, "Okay, and really, what do you expect to do with that?" And the guy just looked at him like we were from a different planet. And he's like, "Well, that's a good degree to get." And my brother's like, "Oh, and I have three of those guys working for me." And you should have seen the look on his face. I mean, it was just priceless. And he's like, I mean, he's being told and he's being programmed that he's got to get this history degree and this psychology degree. And my brother just right to the point. "And what in the hell do you want to do with that? Where do you think that's going to take you in life?" And you know, he had no clue. Yeah.
Well, somebody had
to
tell him.
I talked to a guy today for you. Yeah, I talked to a guy yesterday. They're major builders. They're busy and stuff. And I'm talking to him, and I don't know him very well, but he was telling me, "Well, yeah, my son, he went to college, and now he's back working for me." And it never even registered that he went to college. He, like, he got that out of the way. Now he's working for me. It's just like it's part of the deal, you know?
Yep.
But what did he go to college for? He could have worked for me from the word go.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but then they spent how many thousands of dollars to go to college and then do that? I mean, it just goes on day in and day out. It's just totally insane, and nobody even catches on.
Yeah. Right. They don't even ask the right questions. Exactly.
Yeah. They're too dumb to ask a question. They're programmed.
Yeah, and I got a nephew that is going through WyoTech right now. And I'll tell you what, I'm really proud of him. I mean, he's going through, it's a...
he's going for advanced diesel technology, and he's working hard. He's doing a good job. He's, it's just going good for him. And there's a lot of people that are disappointed in him because he's not going to college, and I think that's the best decision. I mean, learning a trade at this point in time for him, and especially when I understand him and I know him, you know, and he would do better off in a trade situation than he would be going to college. And there's people that are giving him crap about going, you know, and learning a trade. And I think that's what, you know, our people need to be doing. You know, we used to have apprenticeship programs in the country. People could go and learn a trade as an apprentice and get paid for doing it. And it was a pretty common thing. That's how you learn the trade.
Well, for some reason, other people think that they don't need to be doing that physical labor anymore. This guy that I know, I'm actually pretty good friends with him, he grew up on an apple farm, and he was one of 13 kids. And when it came time to pick apples, his dad sold to one of the major grocery stores here in Michigan. And him and his 13 or 12 brothers and sisters were out there picking his dad's 100 acres of apples. They didn't have migrant workers. They didn't do any of that stuff. And his dad never hired one because he had all the workers that he needed. It was his sons and daughters. And to this day, like, even I watched the way that guy does stuff, and he's doing it. He ain't asking nobody to do it. He's going to go out there and do it himself. And it's because he's got that right foundation and mentality. I think, you know, my dad was the same way. My dad worked me and my two brothers, you know, a lot. And, you know, that's what we're still doing, is working. And to sit there and think that you can get a history degree and a psychology or psychiatry degree or whatever he's doing and be, you know, and be able to make a living, you're not producing anything. You know, there's no, you're not producing any commodity to sell. You're not producing any real money. And, you know, because money is just a trade, or is just a medium of trade. You're not producing a commodity. And, you know, your whole system is going to go down if you're not doing that.
Yep.
Well, all of our replacements are in college being dumbed down. Set out in the workforce.
Yeah. And then I would say that goes back to the fathers not working with their sons and daughters, you know. I'll tell you, last week I was building this piece of equipment for the greenhouse here, and my son came over, and he was trying to, he was just trying to steal all my crap from the 2x4s. And finally I was like, bud, get in the truck. So we drove down to the lumber store, and I bought him a bunch of 2x4s, and he built a desk. I never told him how to build a desk. I gave him some advice, but he built a desk that had a drawer in it, and he sat there while I was building this chamber. He built all this stuff on his own, used his power tools. I told him a couple of things, but, you know, and I made sure he didn't cut his finger off or anything, but, you know, and I said, hey, you did a good job.
Yep.
And, you know, he was proud of it. And I just let him go and, you know, worked with him a little bit. We shared our tools, but that's the beginning of making a man to go out into the world, you know. And there's so many children that don't have that opportunity, and it's sad. So I'm glad for your nephew, Jason.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and that's what, you know, I mean.
Well, and
go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, a lot of this education has, so-called education that we have now is the attitude that we're all winners. There's, you know, everybody's just, and they don't allow these young people to fail ever. There's no ability to do it wrong and move up and learn from a mistake or anything like that. And I'm not saying that people should be marked as failures or anything. What I'm trying to say though is that there's a benefit from, I don't know, smacking your thumb with a hammer. Don't put your thumb there. There's a, you know, we learn from our mistakes. I mean, that's, it's a biblical principle. It goes back to all the way to the garden. I mean, that is a teaching moment. There's times when we have to, and our God teaches us that. He tells us something to do, and if we don't listen, there's a reprisal for doing it wrong. And we see so many of these educators, quote unquote, there's no wrong way to do this. There's no, yeah, there is. 2 + 2 = 4. I don't care how you cut it. You know, it's like, memorize it, learn it, and live it. God is a God of fixed principles and fixed things. He doesn't use fuzzy logic. And I think we see that in everything that's coming out today, things that don't work, things that don't last, things that are poorly designed and poorly built. We've got a bunch of people out there who have never done anything or been up against anything and seen, we're all winners. It's okay. It's just a different way. So, just to throw that in there.
Well, I went into a store the other day. It's a new store around here, and they got flannel shirts on there. They're pretty good, you know. I don't know. They're $70-$80, and I'll bet you $100 they came out of Asia. I bet you they bought that thing for under $10, probably $5, you know. But that's what that's going on. They're just milking the people, and they're giving them junk, you know. The whole store was Asia's, some other country, as far as I could tell. I did find a pair of American-made socks. I bought them, but I ain't never going back there.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I went into a sporting goods store, locally owned, and walked through there saw a bunch of shirts, and I'm looking at these shirts, and they're $80 to $100. And I look at where they're made, India, Asia, China, anywhere but here, anywhere but by our people, and couldn't hardly find something made in USA in there, you know, and it's like, you know, like, it ain't worth spending the money on it.
Yeah. Well, we live in a feminized society, you know, everything is priced, you know, we've destroyed this country buying at the lowest price because a man needs his profit, the local man needs his profit. Now we go to a big box store and all the profit goes to corporate headquarters. They create some jobs and stuff, but they take all the cream off it and take it home. And that local guy is, through taxes and persecution, he's unable to cut it. And then I always hate to see a family business get sold out to somebody. I mean, you know, they got a good thriving business. They just get tired and sell it out, and it just makes my blood boil. But I think what's coming down here, God's putting us in a position, we're going to come to him or we're going to die. So that's about what it amounts to. Just nothing makes sense, really, when we look at people, what they're doing.
Well, that's happened in the past, hasn't it?
You know, I deal in agriculture, and this hemp is a rage in this country. And I'll tell you what, they're going to see, everybody's trying to make a living, and they're trying something different. And everybody jump on that bandwagon, you're going to roll over before you know it.
Yeah, but people in the past, they sure have had to come to God or perish.
Well, I thought it was kind of...
Go ahead, Tim.
I just thought it was interesting that December the 12th, the last full moon of the year was December the 12th at 12:12 a.m. And I read some stuff on this, and I thought it was worth passing on. There's been a lot of signs, and we've talked about that before, but you look up Revelation 12:12, and it says, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And there's a lot of 12s in there. I mean, I looked up several of the other 12:12s in the Bible. It's kind of an interesting thing, but... Christ had 12 apostles. He was 12 when he started preaching in the temple the first time. And there's a lot of interesting stuff, but that inhabitants of the earth was kind of grabbed my attention, because we've got people that they don't, we were created from the earth. to till the earth and to keep it and for God's purposes. And we've got some of these others that, you know, they're the sons of the devil, but his time's short. So, you can expect to see him pouring it on because he knows he's only got a short time.
Urgency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Motivates me too.
Zach, what were you going to say?
I actually forgot. I was still thinking about what Ben said. That's pretty amazing. At least I think it is. If that's the case, then things are going to get really crazy, I believe. You might be staring a lot of things right in the face and completely unaware of it right now. I mean, we're talking, you know, potentially war, famine. I mean, there might be a lot of desperation out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of desperation. You know, where I get my truck work done, a guy told me a woman come in there and she paid him on three different credit cards because she's maxed out, and she dug in her purse and found $75, but it wasn't that much money. But she put it on three different credit cards because she is up against the wall. You know, and it's going to come down where there's no place to turn. We're there. We just don't know it yet. Nationally.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Pastor said that years ago in one particular sermon I remember. He said, well, you know, throughout history, we've had a place to go. You could go. You could move here. You could move there. They came to the new world. They created this and that. The space has run out. And, you know, we all know that when you put something in a corner up against the wall, that's when it gets real. You know, and I think we're to that point, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are to that
point.
Yeah,
we're there, for sure.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes left. Anybody have any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, if we have faith, we oversee all this, because we're talking about a lot of problems here, and there's only going to be a remnant saved. And I don't really know how it's coming down, but I don't know. I'm kind of high in life at the moment myself. So, you know, when you look at God's word and what it all stands for, and you really live and get a hold of it, it is an exciting time.
Well, and the first part of that verse, I agree with you, Paul, and the first part of that verse says rejoice. So,
rejoice always.
It's a good thing.
Well, you know, yeah. That Ezekiel served with a valley of dry bones, that's just a really exciting little story there, because when I read that, the most exciting part of that is, he says, and then Israel will know him once and for all. I think that ain't too far out. And they're going to need teachers, and I guess we have the ability to teach if they want to hear.
Yeah,
if you got a family and they're all healthy, and you know, I mean, I almost feel kind of silly, right? I feel kind of silly, like, because everybody's always got to find something to complain about. And, you know, I'm a blessed man. All my children are healthy. I got a happy wife. You know, we love each other. And, I mean, you know, what really else can a guy ask for? And, you know, just sit around and complain about stuff when you hear about people doing three credit cards for a tire change, whatever she was doing, you know, I guess I really don't have it too bad, you know, and,
nope.
You know, I know where my loyalties are. They're with the Lord. They're with Jesus Christ, and, you know, fear him and put your faith in him and obey him, and you'll be all right.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are out of time. Folks, want to thank you for tuning in this morning. Men, want to thank you for joining us here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Glad to be here.
him on the TV and the press. Why so many busy businessmen are snapping from the stress, and the rest of us are jogging from depression. Has it ever once occurred to you, or ever crossed your mind, that the problems of this nation are created by design? That no matter what they tell you, there's another bottom line, intertwined between the patterns of deception. Since our eyes were first opened and our ears began to hear, they've been herding us like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same who stake a claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Zion had a crazy history. Henry Ford gave out a copy free with every mile.